Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Gattun, and this is Technoid live from WGN, where Chicago top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Back in with us, as promised, Corbett Drummy, CEO of Popular Pays. You were on the Saturday show, live AM 720 on Saturday. Was it like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. something like that? And we said that we wanted to have you come back in and talk more, a little bit more in depth. Just for a recap for those poor souls that didn't listen to our show live, what is Popular Pays and who are you?
So Popular Pays is a marketplace that connects brands and content creators. So think of Instagrammers or people on Pinterest, YouTube, etc. Right now, there's a huge need for content in the world, and brands need it for their own channels or for boosting content via ads on Facebook, Instagram. So we help them connect with talented photographers and videographers who produce content according to the brand's needs. And oftentimes the content creators themselves are influential on Instagram or other networks, so they post for the brand as well. But yeah, we launched it here in Chicago. And back, it's actually been almost exactly 4 years. So,
is that crazy?
Yeah, time flies. We hopefully are doing something right just being here 4 years later.
Well, I mean, you guys just raised a decent amount of capital. So it would appear that other people also think you're doing things the right way.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get a little bit deeper into this with you, because first off, I want to talk to you as an entrepreneur who went through YC.
Yep.
We've had a handful of them on here. They're all incredibly successful, as you would probably imagine. I'd love to kind of share with our audience sort of those who don't know what the experience is like and why it's different, or what it's like and why it's different. Now, were you at Techstars too?
No, actually, I have kind of a purview on that experience because my uncle went through it with a Bitcoin startup. So I know about that program. And actually, when we first started PopPays, we were right in 1871 next to the Techstars Chicago. And so I got to like peer into those glass windows and like, you know, see that program as well. But yeah, both are very stellar, accelerators, or I guess, you know, they're kind of a hybrid. It's like an investment plus accelerator.
It is. And what I think is going to be interesting, and I'm guessing that like John Sun from Avant was one of the first people mm-hmm. I interviewed who went to YC, and mm-hmm. it wasn't for Avant. It was for the first, I guess, iteration of Avant.
Mm-hmm.
What I have noticed about it is that there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Not just on the network and the people and Paul Graham and everyone else. It's not just that. It's the just... Oh, man, it's like a cultural thing.
It's like, I forget who said this, but I was talking with someone, and they were like, yeah, it's like going to Hogwarts. It's like this magical school where there's these luminaries of, I mean, when we went there, some of the people that were interviewing us were like, all right, so right when I walked in for the interview, it was Alexis, the founder of Reddit, and I love Reddit, and Kat, who is chief of staff there, plus Justin Kahn, who sold his startup for just shy of a billion, like 970 million to Amazon, like Gary from Delicious. Like there was a lot of people, and plus like the founders themselves, like the early partners are.
And luminaries. When you say Alex from Reddit, you mean Alexis from Reddit, you mean Alexis who's engaged to Serena Williams.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that the craziest
that
thing?
That was wild. Yeah. And I mean, that news like splashed throughout that community as well. Like it's amazing. Man, it's such a big site. I think it's definitely the top 10, maybe top 5 in terms of traffic. And they were in one of the earliest batches. Like the early batches of YC were like crazy companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, Reddit. And when we were looking at starting a company, we read all these articles from Paul Graham, one of the founders, along with his wife Jessica and a couple of partners like Trevor Blackwell. But I read all of his essays, and they were so inspiring. It's like watching, it's like reading like if Hemingway were to talk about startups, because it's very plain English, but no bullshit, like very plain English and very prescriptive, and it's highly educational. So when I read his stuff, I just really felt a connection to that community. I felt like, wow, this is a group of people that I really want to be a part of. And we applied the first time and didn't hear back.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to...
Sure, that's not uncommon.
It's not. I've since graduating YC, I've done maybe 15 mock interviews to help kind of prep companies for the application. The application itself, like they just went through another round. It's its own ecosystem of tons of articles online about how to prep for it. Interesting cases about what you've been asked in the interview. A friend of mine actually recorded it. I don't know if I can say his name, but he recorded his interview process. So because he wanted to like maybe write something about it, and like he had the phone recording in his pocket.
That's I think illegal.
Yeah, it is. So I can't say his name.
Let's not say his name. Yeah. Although it would be easy for them to find when there's a book that comes out of like my experience.
Yeah.
So what would be like? I guess share with me. I mean, I'm not a smart enough person to be able to ever have a company that's going to get on YC.
Man, we didn't think we were like a big part of it is luck. Like it was timing. But you know, we didn't think that we had what it takes either, but we were very lucky to the point where we had gone through some iterations of Pop Pays. Like, its very first iteration was, imagine you could go to local coffee shops in the city and get a free cup of coffee in exchange for a post on Instagram. And so it's bartering. It's like, you know, you get a free coffee, the business gets a post about their business. And, you know, the users loved it, the brands loved it, but Pop Pays, we couldn't survive because there's no money. Like, there's
free
beans
that sprinkle out of the bottom of the cup.
So we got a lot of free stuff, but we didn't get, you know, we couldn't get Instagrammers and creators paid, which is important because, like, coffee doesn't pay the rent. And also our business was failing, so that was important.
Yeah.
But we went through some iterations, and we started in May 2013, but around mid-2014, we tested out this first marketplace approach where bigger brands like, you know, the Jim Beams or Nikes or McDonald's of the world could put a brief live on our app and say, here's the kind of content we need. And creators could apply and say, I'll do it for, you know, $500 and post it to my, you know, followers. And so that really took off. Like, from the first month we launched it, we had made like $0 in revenue the month before. And I remember the first month we launched it, I think there was like $20,000 in spend on the platform. And we were just amazed that, you know, I remember when we first watched the, you know, people pick creators on the platform, we watched it happen. We launched the product. First of all, we launched it and there were immediately like 3 applications to a campaign. And we're like, oh, there's a glitch. Like, there's already data showing up. We refreshed it and there was like 5. So we're like, oh, people are actually applying to campaigns here. And then when we saw the first brand log in and click like accept and, you know, like kind of purchase click accept on an Instagrammer's bid, we were amazed that people were actually spending money on this platform because we had struggled for a year to get revenue. And right around that time, we applied to YC and they saw that we'd built something people wanted. So we were so lucky that the next month we did the interview, and during the 10 minutes interview time you get with, you know, like those partners we were talking about, fortunately, you know, a very large famous footwear brand was spending during that 10 minutes. So we got to show them like the brand spending on the platform. And during that,
awesome.
it was awesome. We got the call later that night that we got in, and they helped us so much in terms of not just advice, but shaping up the company. Cause when you start up, you make tons of errors, everything from paperwork to, you know, just corporate hygiene and team, everything. So they really helped us become more professional, helped us with the basics, and it was great to have their guiding hand throughout our startup journey.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny, a lot of the companies in Chicago, and now we're talking, you know, where you guys are now time-wise, at that time we weren't quite as sophisticated and developed, and I feel like it was a lot of trial by fire for most of the companies, and most of these founders now that are your age, maybe a couple of years older than you now, are in that repeat mode, and they're starting to come back with new things. And it's amazing, like, when I talk to them about how that struggle that they first had was like, man, I was trying to build a team. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, all this stuff. And now it's real quick. They like come in, they raise their cap quick. They raise a little bit of money. They know what they're going to do. They got it planned out. They reuse the same kind of operating agreements. They just scale it
same
and go.
Same people sometimes too.
They restart with the same team. I mean, we talked to Al from Avant. Speaking of Avant, he did the same thing. He's on his third company and now it's a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah, they're huge.
But they've had, he said when he keynoted at Technoria last month, he said that he's had at least 5 people that are on each one of the 3 companies.
Yeah.
Same 5.
Because it's like, it's really analogous to, you know, what's Quentin Tarantino or other directors.
Yeah, for sure.
They have their crew. And
or Happy Madison Productions, as I like to talk about. They got their same crew. You get your Rob Schneider in there.
Yeah. So, like, everything from movie directors to, like, business leaders.
DOFC and the Cubs brings a bunch of players from the Boston Red Sox, so they had the culture.
Yeah, like it's something to do with there's another kind of sports analogy, even though I've sadly lost most time to follow, you know, teams that I used to. It's very analogous to, like, you could have a stellar player like a Kobe on one team and a bunch of people who aren't household names, but they win the games because they work well together.
Yep.
And we've found that to be very true. Like, startups are, and the team dynamic is about cohesion and, we love individual performers who are great, but it's more important that they fit within the team.
Well, yeah, for sure. And the other thing is, like, so now a lot of this stuff you get to learn when you're at YC. You get the, from what I hear, at least I don't get to go personally, but you get to sort of learn from the best people's errors.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's invaluable. It's like to have someone like, you know, I give an example, anyway, the Dropbox. Like, somebody's sitting there, like, for a call. I know they had Mark Zuckerberg there for one of their luncheons.
And the great part is, I think, and it's worth bringing up, they just, I think, released kind of like a lecture series, like open sourcing it. And what I love about them, too, is the culture of, like, just sharing information because they're not worried about like controlling it. So they've got
the safe, which is like their thing. And you can just go to YC and just grab the safe.
Safes
and convertible
are awesome.
Nova. The safe is the best. Yes. And rip it right off the website. Be like, all right, so I'm going to take on money. This is perfect for me. So here you go.
So to give you an example, like when we first started raising money in like 2013, you know, we quit our jobs. We had 3 months of runway. We didn't even know how to raise money. Like, there are different vehicles you can use. Like, we had an LLC, so you can sell LLC units. You can raise money on a convertible note. I don't think YC had invented the SAFE agreement, the simple agreement for future equity SAFE. I don't think they invented that at that point, or we didn't know about it. But we went through these different options, and we had raised common equity to begin with, then convertible notes. But we paid the price with kind of convertible notes were definitely easier, but it was messy, and it took a long time. Legal fees were higher. We made through it. But nowadays, if I fill out a SAFE, you need like three fields. It's like a three-page document, and I can send it to you. You could give me like 10K, and if you want to give me 10K, you know, that's fine. It's fine.
I mean, this morning had a $15,000 check in my pocket. Actually.
I heard it's gone now, but
it is gone now. You did hear that, and it is in fact gone.
like you can just give an investor this agreement. They can sign it. The whole thing can be done in, you know, 5 minutes. They wire the money. It makes fundraising so easy, and there's nothing to worry about in terms of like tracking interest on the convertible note, or like there's not too much regulation in terms of like the complexity of raising a preferred round is usually you're going to spend at least like 35 plus grand on.
Oh, absolutely. And that, honestly, assuming that your books and everything looked good.
Oh my gosh,
now,
if
you actually did it, like if you came into this and hadn't cleaned things up, I've seen things go raising $1 million, not even $1 million, which obviously that's a lot of money, but it really isn't like when it comes down
to it. It's weird. You lose sense of scale at a startup. Like when we first raised our first 100K, we were just like, oh my God, we don't have to work again ever.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
We have such a great cushion until you get an invoice for $15,000. Then it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This isn't going to last very long.
No. And I remember we just thought we were just like golden. And then, 3 months later, you're raising again.
Yeah.
But $1 million is a lot. And then in the scheme of things, you see other companies raising like
hundreds of millions.
Yeah. And even people in Chicago, like some friends have raised, I remember talking with Emerson from Dose, and he pulled in like $25 million
from this building.
That's right. Tribune Media.
Yeah. So, and we had, we actually had Emerson on the show when he did that deal.
He's an early mentor of ours. He was, very transformative because, in the early days of starting PopPays, I just kind of tried to do like everything.
Yep.
And that's the wrong way to do things. You got to focus on the important things first. And, after talking with him, he kind of illustrated the Pareto principle of like the 80-20 rule in terms of if you have 100 things on your plate, there's only 20 of them matter. And
which he wrote and taught himself, by the way. I don't know how you got into this whole thing, but like self-educated everything. And
he's pretty great. I asked him, when I met with him, I was like, what's the number one thing, you know, you would want to teach someone, you know, getting to this? He's like, learning how to learn. And he talked about different tips on how to learn. And that was helpful. But just some books he recommended, stuff like that, really got me. I remember he said I should read 80-20 Manager, which was really cheesy, but he had enough examples in that book of the Pareto principle at work where it just drills it home, even though it's really cheesy. And I changed my style of work in terms of trying to do everything on my to-do list to being really okay with letting some things linger and then just like deleting them.
Yep.
And that was felt very foreign at first.
We had the same school because he sat across me at this exact same room. We talked about this, and this is like this is going to turn into the Emerson show again. But no, he had I joke about this every time I joke when I see him. We had six conversations going on in his head, not including the one that we were having on the show.
Yeah.
And it was like you were on another level. And I asked him after the show, I was like, how? Because I knew I was kind of heading down this path, and I was like, I'm going to have a lot of hats I'm wearing. How do you handle it? And he was like, it's crazy. You know, the media thing, like we kind of had a nice little geek out moment.
Yeah,
on it.
He's a good person to talk to for that.
He was perfect. Yeah. And it was like, you know what? Some stuff's going to suck. It's not going to go well at all. And you've got to pick out the parts of 70% of the job that you can really do something with and put your time on it. And you got to like keep all the other things.
Just keep them in parity.
Yeah,
like
for my guys sitting here who are listening, like they hear me talk about this all the time and they're probably pretty tired of it. But he talks about everything in verticals. He didn't talk about like this, name this. It was just like, this is different verticals of thought. That's all it is, right? And so I've got 5 or 6 verticals I'm trying to do, okay? I need to do X, Y, and Z to make them be able to continue to float.
Yeah.
But my job is not to run all 5 verticals fully all the way.
Yeah.
I got to do the best I possibly can where I'm effective and then just make sure that the other verticals aren't sinking.
Yeah. Usually companies fail because one of the verticals gets out of parity. Like, cash flow or, I don't know, engineering. Like, certain things can kind of grind a company to a halt. But then also transformative, he was saying, like, he kind of he was an early pioneer of like the audition process of hiring, in terms of he had a lot of people in the MuggleNet days reach out, say like, oh, I want to take part in MuggleNet. And he's like, great, try this thing. And he kind of gave them tasks, and more people stuck around, and eventually kind of find people who really are committed. And eventually you can delegate whole verticals to those people.
Sure. And you trust them, and you don't have to be so, it's not so hard. So enough with Emerson.
Yeah.
no, but let's get into kind of the meat and potatoes here of the business, because I think you've got a lot here. Mm. There's a misconception, I think, on the influencer marketing, which you guys deal with all the time.
Yeah.
The one thing, then, I certainly don't need to affirm this for you, because everyone else has already done this for you. But I think influencer marketing, as I said to you on the show, is the future of sales. I feel like there will always be people who collect inbound, and that's sort of a thing, but probably an AI or a bot, but whatever.
Yeah, man.
At the end of the day, everything's about users.
Yeah.
And who better to tell that story than a user?
Yeah.
And especially a user with a million followers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the transformative part about working with influencers and creators is that their content is hyper relevant, and we've seen it just performs better. Like it converts better on campaigns. So let's say that a random brand, I'm looking at Under Armour out the window. They're not a client.
Help right now.
Yeah, we're not always allowed to talk about what clients we work with.
Sure,
there's some on our website, but I wish we could, but so let's say that, a brand wants to get, impressions on a new product, or like brand awareness or something. Traditionally their options are, create content with their media agency or in-house. And they, boost it out. And conversely, we've gone to them and said, hey, how about we have these different content creators make, 50 pieces of content. They're posting it. We're seeing what's working well out in the wild, and we, double down on the ones that are working and boost it. And that's more effective for a number of reasons. Like, A, you can get, the amount of content you need as a brand these days is so much greater. You can't just make, a photo a month. You have to keep up this cadence across many different social networks. And so not only do they get these, 50 photos they have full rights to use, but it's so hard to kind of think internally and come up with the perfect piece of content that is viral. Look what happened with the Kendall Jenner video. It's very difficult to know what's going to work well. And so by kind of putting a bunch of pieces of content out there, they can see what's working, and we can double down and on the ones that are working well. So I think that the way that creators and influencers are transforming the game here is that it's allowing brands to produce content at the same scale that they spend on in terms of media.
Sure.
And although influencers as they're traditionally known aren't always the best at converting themselves, you can't really post links on Instagram right now, but it might convert on Pinterest, for example. The combo of working with them for content and boosting what's working is, I think, the best advertising product in the world.
I agree. Yeah. And I also think that it's for one of the first questions I actually got after you were on the show was, why would an influencer who has this knowledge and these people, why would they go to a third party when they could just charge it on their own? I will give you the response I gave.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Probably not nearly the one you would want to give, but hopefully it's somewhat near. And I didn't say anything to go too deep into it, but the main point that I came up with was, do you want to trust that person who doesn't know anything about your brand to be able to create this content and know what to say? The Kendall Jenner thing is a perfect example.
Yeah.
That couldn't have gone any worse.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I had Pop Pays there to be like, this is what the client wants, this is what's created, this is how it goes. You don't have crisis management teams replacing that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Wait, we can take that example. That's really interesting. So think of, when creators apply for a campaign, let's say that they're doing a campaign, we just released a new drink, and when creators apply on Pop Pays, they apply with an idea that they know would work well with their audience.
Sure.
And furthermore, when it does work, we can continue boosting it to that audience. The problem with, these big pieces of media that go out to everyone is it might not be tailored to the right market for you. So yeah, it's de-risked because the creators themselves, the influencers themselves, they care about what's going out to their feed probably more than the brand cares about their product even.
Yeah.
So they'll kind of shepherd it in the right way. But yeah, I'd say that more importantly, it's allowing for a lot more flexibility in terms of the storytelling compared to, I think, traditionally what brands are doing.
Yeah, and I would also say the sophistication and metrics and the ability to be able to, at the end of the day, if you want to do this with your local C shop and oh yeah, there's a board shop down on the corner, okay, fine, influencer, great, do that. They're not going to ask you for insane metrics. They're not going to ask you to return that same ROI again and again.
Yeah.
If you're going with a real business, they need an infrastructure. It's like, no, no, no. We paid how many clicks did we get? What was the return? Like, I want to link it back. You have to be sophisticated.
Marketing should be a science. Yeah.
It absolutely should. People don't want to hear that. Marketers, pretty much, here's the deal. And no offense to you if you're out there. I apologize. If your card says, you know, marketing, VP marketing, blah, 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 and you don't have any sort of background in metrics or anything like that, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you might want to start looking towards other stuff.
One of the biggest trends we've seen, you know, carrying over from last year was brands were coming to us saying, like, we need more. We want more data around, like, you know, the performance of these posts and things. And so now, we link brand lift campaigns to brand lift studies, you know, like impression and brand lift campaigns. We link to studies like that for apps and, you know, e-commerce sites. We link to purchases online. So we pride ourselves in creating great branded content that's performant, like it converts well. Oh, and the part about the, I realized I didn't answer that, the why a celeb would use Pop Pays instead of going through the agent. The really biggest, the big ones definitely work, like, you know, the Justin Bieber's of the world.
Sure.
They work with their agents. Although a lot of, you know, the big firms, like, you know, the top few firms you think of in terms of celebrities, they work through Pop Pays in terms of their agents submit bids on behalf of their talent.
I would still think that they would, even they do, the agent would go through. Why would an agent?
I mean, every, almost, you know, every month we definitely have many, you know, subs that are represented by these top tier firms, their agents are submitting bids on behalf of the talent, and they use it for a couple of ways. Like, Pop Pays is making an operating system out of this industry. Like, we're standardizing a lot of things. Like, we're standardizing things like the contracts, payment terms. And so when the agents work with us because they can get more deal flow, like they get a source of deals they wouldn't normally see. And so maybe their talent who they're not as busy as Bieber, maybe this celeb wants more access to work, they can, you know, get it through Pop Pays. But we also standardize things, like we pay very fast when a gig's done, you know, and we're responsible for getting the money from the brand, so we take that off their plate. We take care of a lot of the operational stuff in terms of, like, the management of the content approval and things. And so a lot of agents just use it because it's, like, it streamlines the logistics of the deal for them.
Well, I can tell you, if I could revise my statement back to the person, I would tell them that this is big business. This isn't joke around, and you don't take risks on your brand, your personal brand, or your corporate brand. And so if you want to do this on a pro level, it's probably best that you have somebody handle this whose entire focus is on this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's like influencer marketing or like content creation from networks of creators like us. I think it's transformed into, most VPs, like you're saying, they now are thinking about it as almost a piece of every media buy they do or every like ad campaign. So it's definitely crossed into that threshold, but it's still not as understood.
It's not, it's not as big as it will be and should be. But I mean, from the guys that I talk to, we certainly bake this into ours. I mean, in a lot of ways, I know you use Instagram and Pinterest primarily. We are essentially creating influencers on our own, right? I mean, we have our own show here. It's like, if you come on this show, it's like, oh, we made it and now it's a thing. And so, or at least that's what they
tell me. Actually, you guys are you're providing like that, like it's actually gotten a lot harder to build an audience. Like when the networks were young, like Instagram, YouTube, it was very much easier to kind of break through and make a following and like to build a following. It's gotten a lot harder, and I'd consider like these outlets some of the like the more bankable or last remaining ways to like really get word out or get an audience, like build content and a following. Like you guys are your own content creation shop and like amplification piece around, you know, I'm not going to be able to
engineered sort of what you do, but in a totally different way.
I won't be able to build a following, you know, by posting on Instagram, but by kind of partaking in your show. You guys make great content, so we are happy and really fortunate to be able to attach, you know, our brand and name to it to get like our story out there.
And that's the way that, like I said before, we kind of reverse engineer what you do, because by doing that, I can turn around. I don't charge you or anyone who comes on our stage. I can go to a sponsor and say, who do you like? Do you want to get involved with something like Pop Pays One? And do you want to get involved with the people who follow Pop Pays? And that's what I can sell. And it's like, you still win. I got money from the sponsor, but you still won because they took that and they sent it to their people.
Yeah, no, we're stoked to get the word. Like, it's great to be in a community like Chicago because there's, I mean, it's kind of like an echo chamber in the Bay Area. There's just so much going on where it's nice to be in a community where we can still kind of get our name out, and it's good for things like recruiting, stuff like that. So we've had candidates come up and, you know, talk about how they've come across our culture and press pieces and stuff like that. And the more we can get out the things we believe in, the happier we are, because we want to attract a certain type of candidate. And this kind of stuff helps us do that.
Pop pays interviewing at Burning Man.
Yeah.
That's our next interview is at Burning Man.
I think we might take one or two Pop Pays teammates there this year. We might try.
Should I recommend not bringing interns?
Yeah, we should
I think
not.
Maybe you got to legally. I don't know. There's got to be something around that.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit waiting.
Waiting to happen anyway. Going to Burning Man.
Yeah, it is a crazy place.
Okay, so the last thing, we got to let you out of here, but the last, and this is dumb of me to put this as the last thing, because it's probably the thing we could have spent more time on than any of it, but whatever.
Had fun.
Yeah. Building a marketplace is incredibly complex.
Oh, man, yeah.
And this is why I said we can go on for days. We can have you back for another show on this one alone.
There was actually a talk, I think, at YC about, like, maybe at least someone came in and, like, you know, experts. There are experts on marketplaces.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And here's the problem. There's a ton of people who think that they're experts on marketplace and fundamentally don't understand like what is required to operate a marketplace. So I'm going to ask you, someone who's done a pretty good job of it so far, what was the number one or number two, whatever arbitrary numbers, things that sort of were the, like, holy shit, I didn't realize that was what a marketplace, like, I wouldn't have guessed that. Mm-hmm. What was the surprise?
So, I mean, I think when people think of marketplaces, they think of the classic chicken and egg problem, because
eBay.
You need one side to get the other, and there's always going to be one side that's harder to get than the other. Actually, a way that you know that you have a really good marketplace is, for example, on Pop Pays, it's usually harder to get brands that are willing to spend money than people who want to make the money.
Yep.
The way you can tell if you're really onto a gold mine is if it's harder for you to get the people who want to make money. This sounds kind of weird, but, like, Airbnb, for example, their inventory problems were actually on the hosting side.
Yeah.
And that's very unique. And it's same thing with, like, Uber, like, getting drivers.
If adaptation is your thing, that's, like, it's a good sign usually.
Yeah. And so the classic market, 99 out of 100 marketplaces are going to have problems on the other side, which is, like, the people who are spending money. And it's all about, like, the only thing you have to do in a marketplace is focus on the bottlenecks to getting that side on. For example, the way we did it was, got our first client who's going to spend money, and they said, you know, we have a budget for X, Y, and Z. And we brought that deal to a list of content creators saying, hey, we have this opportunity, do you want in? And they applied. And so now, you know, we kind of, you always leverage one side of the market to build the other. And it's best to do that on the side that's hard to get, for example, like the brands that are spending money. Because once you get that, you know you can get the other side. And
We
ended up attracting a huge base of creators just because they knew that they could get business at Pop Pays, and that, you know, we paid well and we did a few things right on time. But we focused a lot of the early effort, almost all of it, on just building up that one side of the marketplace, because you leverage that to get the other.
Well, you've done an absolutely phenomenal job.
Thank you.
And we're going to have you come back on here again or on a live show.
It's fun
pretty much whenever you want to come on.
Thanks.
Because this has been two great conversations, and I wish that we'd have had you on even sooner.
Hopefully it's, you know, still like chapter one in the Pop Pay story.
That's what I feel like, because I do feel like you said, it's probably less than 10% that have this in their main budget. When it gets to 20, 30, 40% of budgets are influencer, you guys are going to be...
I think it's going to grow, you know, it's going to grow a lot in the next coming years. So we're hyper-focusing on being this scalable content solution, because we know there's a lot of demand for that. So hopefully we'll stay in the news with all these updates coming out.
I think you'll be fine. Corbett Drummy, CEO of Pop Pays, Popular Pays. Where do they go to download the app?
Go to the iTunes store for iPhones. So just search for Popular Pays in the iTunes store. And we have a web app for, you know, if you're on a mobile, you know, like a Android device or a web, just go to popularpays.com. And if you're a brand, you can go to the website too to start a campaign.
Very cool. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. You can watch this episode and more on technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.